producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discouraged? Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we teed up with our true insiders from Talk Radio News. Luke Vargas on the scene in New Hampshire. You know, a couple of different things hang in the balance there, especially when we're talking about the fate of the Senate position there. So what's the latest, Luke, on the ground?
God, I mean, I think the Republicans are starting to give Jeanne Shaheen a real run for her money here. Just look at the latest polls here in the Granite State. It shows basically the race between Shaheen and Scott Brown to be neck and neck at this point. You know, this despite a big campaign push in the state yesterday by Hillary Clinton coming to speak for Jeanne Shaheen. I haven't seen a lot of big Democratic names here. She's basically pulling the weight herself as, you know, we come down to 24 hours before the polls open.
Wow. And do they get a lot of voters there? I know the last time I was in New Hampshire, I was impressed by the turnout.
Yeah, I just actually heard an interview on the local radio here with the New Hampshire Secretary of State saying they predict record turnout for a midterm election, about 500,000 people. It's worth pointing out also in the last election in 2012, New Hampshire had the highest turnout of any state in New England. So look, that old thing about New Hampshire voters being more educated and you know, really taking this process seriously, I think holds true when you look at what's going to transpire tomorrow.
Yeah. Let's jump to, you know, things related to the UN, the latest updates in the fight for Kobani. That's huge. What's happening there before you took off for New Hampshire?
Yeah, well, we've been seeing these Iraqi Kurdish Peshmerga fighters entering into Kobani. This is, of course, you know, a move by the Turkish authorities to say, look, we're committed to this fight. We're not going to sit on the sidelines and let this town fall. There are, you know, several hundred, it's not thousands, like I think people were hoping, of these Peshmerga fighters have crossed over the border. They're now engaged in firefights against the Islamic State in Kobani. But I have to point out, and this is something, you know, we've been seeing over the last few weeks, which is that as the world's focus remains on this town, I mean, we talk about it being strategically important. It's not really that strategic. It would be an emotional loss for the coalition if they lost it, and I guess that's why it's strategic in a way at this point. But in western Iraq, in Anbar province, the situation has really been deteriorating over the last few days. Over the weekend, there were about 300 tribesmen who were executed by the Islamic State. They had apparently all, you know, decided to band together and fight the group, say, look, you're not going to take over our town. The Islamic State executed them, shot them in public. There are reports of about 30 more people from that town being executed today. So, you know, their threat when it comes down to the security ring around Baghdad remains, even as the world's focus remains, I guess, unfortunately, so limited to Kobani.
Yeah. One last one. I know you got to fly, but you and I have talked a ton about the Ukraine since you've been there. Talk about the elections in the rebel-held territory.
Yeah, so this was in the self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic, which is that sort of little territory in the Donbass region, as it's known, in the eastern part of the country. It sort of incorporated itself back in the spring, saying, look, we want to be considered our own territory here. We don't take orders from Kiev. They held elections yesterday that were condemned by the United Nations, by Washington and the European Union, saying these are illegitimate. They're a violation of the Minsk ceasefire agreement, which actually said elections could go forward, but they should wait till December. Here in the Donetsk People's Republic, they said, look, we don't abide by that agreement. We take issue with a lot of the wording. And they've elected a gentleman who they say is their new president. His name is Alexander Zakharchenko. You might remember him from photos. He wears sort of a Tintin-like outfit with that blue and white striped shirt. He is now the president of this self-proclaimed republic. And in comments today, he made the case that ceasefire agreement was also wrong because he thinks more territory actually belongs to them than they currently control. So he's certainly leveraging his new position and making the claim that, you know, perhaps they should be using their military might in the next few weeks to go out and poach that territory, which is currently held by Ukraine. So it's a difficult position for Kiev, especially because Russia is saying, look, we're going to probably honor this vote. And Kiev, you need to use these guys as your intermediaries. You know, don't come talking to us anymore. If you want to talk to the rebels in the east, they've got a president. Talk to them directly. So it puts Kiev in a very tricky position if and when, likely, another conflict arises in the coming weeks.
Wow. All right, Luke Vargas, thanks so much. Have fun up there in New Hampshire. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night.
Sure thing. Take care.
Boy, New Hampshire is ground zero for a really hot Senate race, and that Shaheen and Brown thing looks like it's going to go down to the wire at this point. That's what all the latest polls are showing is, you know, talking to Luke Vargas at the final end of the weekend and swinging into Monday. It looks as though it's a dead heat in all these polls. Brown is a half point ahead of Shaheen with 48.7% support compared to 48.2% for Shaheen. I mean, that pretty much spells, you know, whether or not he's going to be the senator or she's going to be the senator. It's going to be a late, late night. It's coming down to the wire. How about that? Because it's a really hard-fought race with a lot of clawing, in a sense, going back and forth, and a lot of people throwing around their opinions. If you go to New Hampshire, everybody has an opinion on this one. The Granite State is absolutely alive when it comes to elections, because you heard what Luke said there, that in 2012 they had the biggest voter turnout. So isn't it interesting? It's actually the fourth week in a row that the Senate race between Jeanine Shaheen and the Republican challenger Scott Brown has been in a statistical tie, and actually the third week in a row that Scott Brown had a very tiny, teeny, teeny lead. But this is absolutely way, 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 way too close to call, and like I said, that's where you got the coffee going and you're waiting till the last second to call it, because every single vote's going to count, as some of these other races look like they're coming down to the wire too. One of those races could be North Carolina. It's kind of a coin flip there, and what happens in Louisiana is kind of a coin flip. Pretty interesting stuff, heading into what is Election Day. And maybe some of you have already voted. Maybe some of you are voting later in the day. You might have done the early voting thing, or no, you're actually waiting. I know I said this on a previous show, but to me it seems as though we are so ready for a mandatory holiday on Election Day. And I think it may jack up how many people go and vote. Of course, that theory could come crashing to earth the second it happens, and then the numbers are still the same. But I think more people would end some of the excuses and find a way to vote. I think more people would find a way to go ahead and do it. Here's the great news. After we get through tomorrow, you know what that means? No more negative ads for a while. Every time I turn on the tube, that's all I see. I'm being pounded by ads, as I know many of you are, too. Hang with us. We've just scratched the surface. It's a long way to go yet. Heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
In between prognosticating and trying to figure out what's going to happen this time around in the elections, there's some other things that have gone on outside of D.C. and inside of D.C. One thing that's crazy is what happened with the Maryland man who's facing federal charges after being accused of emailing a threat to kill Obama's family. Secret Service said in an affidavit that Christopher Perkins O'Brien from Annapolis actually sent an email to the White House on October 16th threatening the president and Michelle Obama. He identified himself in the message as Mr. C.P. O'Brien and then listed a Maryland phone number. That's the crazy part that I'm talking about. So he just basically threw the breadcrumbs out there. When they contacted him, he admitted sending the email after denying it. The affidavits say that he told them he never intended to carry out the threats and that he is too sick to cause anybody harm. And they say he said he was sorry for sending the message and felt embarrassed. Boy, that's a whole lot of embarrassment for a whole lot of time behind bars. You cannot do that. What an idiot. So first he's caught and then he makes up a story. And then they absolutely have him dead to rights. And he tries to back around it again. He makes up the story, tries to back around it, and then says, well, I'm a mess and I'm sick and that's why that happened. And, you know, there's no do-overs once you threaten the president. It means serious time and they're going to nail you to the wall for it. And it seems as though there are a lot of excuses being made by people who are threatening the White House, leaping the fence, sending nasty emails, whatever it is. You just cannot do that. your frustrations have to go in other directions. I mean, are they not paying attention to what happens? What's the end game here? Yeah, I mean, the end game is you do time, and you can make up any story you want, but it's never going to float. And it made me think, I wonder how many people are in that position and how many people are serving time for saying or doing stupid things, ridiculous things, that were considered to be serious threats toward any of our presidents. And the answer is there's a handful of people that are doing time because of that. And so just add this, I think, to the list that, you know, you're charged. You make the threats. That's it. There is no going back on what those threats are. They're all taken incredibly serious, and you're going to end up in that pile with the rest of the people who find themselves in those pretty jumpsuits doing time for what they thought was clowning around. Yeah, there is no clowning around. So I mentioned as we jump back to politics that it's the last-ditch ads, the efforts to push to get somebody over the top. And most of them are negative, let's face it. Usually any of the ads we see are that way because it attracts your attention, and the positive ads don't do the same thing. Like, hooray, hooray, here's what I've done, and this is why you should vote for me. That ultimately is like a tagline. But most of the ads are geared toward what the other person can't do. Like, for example, North Carolina Senator Kay Hagan had a radio ad, just released a radio ad, as this thing starts to wind down. And like other Democratic candidates, she was distancing herself from Obama throughout the campaign. But now that it's neck and neck and it comes down to the wire, they have an ad with the president directly addressing listeners. In the ad, he says North Carolina voters need to send a message this election by voting for Senator Kay Hagan. And the ad goes on and says, you know, Kay Hagan has been tirelessly creating job opportunities here at home, supporting a higher minimum wage. But Republicans have been cutting investments in education, this is Obama's words, while protecting tax breaks for the wealthy. So let's send them a message by voting for someone who shares our priorities. And this just was released on the radio after being not part of this thing for 18 months. So waiting until the last day. Well, you can bet that Tom Tillis is going to try to capitalize on that and say, oh, sure, pull this out of the deck at the waning hours. Will the ads boost the turnout for Hagan, or will they end up backfiring on her because of the amount of ads, boom, that are pumped out there, because of the way people feel about the president? Well, the idea was to wait till the last second. If it was this close, then throw it out there. Highlight a few things about her and hope the Obama crowd, the crowd that likes Obama, is going to run out and vote for Hagan, and it's not going to turn them off. But how interesting is it that this was on the back shelf, on the back burner, probably wouldn't have seen the light of day, except for that she got this close. I mean, she's that close to being eliminated. So the idea is, let's not mess around with this. Let's pull this out. Let's pull this out and throw it out there, because I don't think it can hurt us too much at the tail end of this thing. And maybe it helps us a little and pushes us over somehow. And, you know, the minimum wage thing is a big deal, and higher minimum wages will probably pass in some states. Actually, the measures on the ballots to raise the minimum wage on Tuesday include Alaska, Arkansas, Nebraska, and South Dakota. The state minimum wage, they would vote to raise the state minimum wage above the $7.25 an hour mandated by the feds. In Alaska and Arkansas, the measure is so popular, the opposition is really non-existent. So there's a little bit of a tiny window there. Republicans say the initiatives are thinly disguised by the Democrats to get out the vote for struggling incumbents like Mark Pryor from Arkansas and Mark Begich of Alaska. Supporters say the issue is about a living wage, that's what that's about. So check it out. In South Dakota, the minimum wage or the measure calls for $8.50 an hour. In Nebraska, they propose a $9 minimum, and in Alaska, $9.75. You know, places like Seattle, they adopted a minimum wage ultimately to $15. San Francisco votes Tuesday on whether to approve a $15 minimum wage. Oakland, California voters decide on $12.25 minimum wage. So it certainly looks like the minimum wage is going to be different all over the place, and it already is. There already is a lot of that happening. So some people who think they have the highest minimum wage may wake up to find out that San Francisco has higher or Oakland has higher. And this is very big. Of all the measures, there's 150 different measures. This is very, very big in the places that I just mentioned. But here comes the other part of that. Where does the money come from? Where is the money coming to pay for the minimum wage, which was the big, giant argument on the other side of this? So is it common sense? Does it make sense to raise the minimum wage, to push for the minimum wage hike? Certainly, this is one of those Democratic-Republican issues. Some of the issues kind of fall in that gray area, but the Republicans are not for moving the minimum wage needle, while the Democrats are. And so there is something to for the Democrats owning that if they're pushing the whole living wage thing, and that has spiked an interest by a lot of people in those, you know, nooks and crannies that I mentioned, where that could, that may push them in a certain direction too for some of the people that they could be voting for. So they tie themselves to the wage issue in a hope of there's enough that fall into that crevice that they'll push it over. You know, I mean, the argument is always the minimum wage is not supposed to be, it's supposed to be for part-time jobs, supposed to be for teenagers and other people, but the reality is a lot of people are relying on those jobs to pay serious bills. Stick with us.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the fields is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com, click the blue microphone in the top right corner, and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day. Take them camping or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days, free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Here we are getting pumped up and ready for the mayhem of the midterm elections. Much to my dismay, we never seem to get huge turnouts for these things, but wouldn't it be great for me to jump on the air and say, you're not going to believe how many people showed up in New Hampshire, you're not going to believe how many people showed up in North Carolina, and all those states where the vote for Senate especially could have a massive implication on where we're headed as far as the chambers and the majority. Right now, the Democrats have a six-seat edge, but that could flip in a different direction. And it really does hang in the balance now at this point. And there's a lot of second-guessing going on with a strategy, like I just told you with Kay Hagan, about avoiding the president or embracing the president. And will that strategy pay off for the people who didn't take an endorsement from the press or waited till the last second, like Hagan, who realizes it's close? They decided, probably after a lot of hand-wringing and conversation behind closed doors, we might as well take a shot at it. it might help us. There might be people that are drawn to it. The Democrats might be drawn to it and may pull some of them out, and that will be the push that we need, those few votes, because it's going to come down to vote counting. It may be too close, and that may be one of those elections where we see that we got a runoff on our hands. I wouldn't be stunned if we see a couple of runoffs, and we just may see that. So, you know, this whole idea of whether or not to pull in the Prez or not pull in the Prez in Louisiana, it's been a big deal for Mary Landrieu, who actually came out and blamed racism for Obama's unpopularity. She said, you know, when she was asked why President Obama has a hard time in the state where the approval rating is around 40%, she said it has to do with race. She said, I'm just going to be honest. And she said this. She said, the South has not always been the friendliest place for African Americans. She was on Chuck Todd's NBC show over the weekend and said it's a difficult time for the Prez to present himself in a positive light as a leader. You know, she's a three-termer who is, of all the people that are out there, really, really fighting in a tough contest to hang in there. I mean, she may have the biggest hill to climb of all. And, you know, she says the number one reason for Obama's unpopularity is the moratorium that was put on by the Obama administration on offshore drilling following the BP oil spill in 2010. Because if you remember, it was drill, baby, drill, and we're going to do this. And then when the BP thing happened, all of a sudden, all bets were off, and the people of Louisiana wanted nothing to do with that. And she's right about that. They were furious. When you shut down the whole Gulf, it puts a lot of people out of business and at risk, and that's what happened. And they did not forget. They didn't forget. So, Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana, said that her remarks were incredibly divisive and said that it's a major insult to say that the South is racist and that his state in particular is racist and that that's not true. Just he said that it's more about her administration is incompetent and they're trying to blame it on race, and that's just absolutely stupid and ridiculous. And she, you know, she's been elected three times. And even James Varney, who is an editorial writer at the paper of record there, said that Landrieu declined to explain how she's been elected as many times as she has as a senator by what he called a collection of unwashed knuckle draggers. That may be the best terminology I've ever heard, unwashed knuckle draggers. So I think that she may be the one of all of the Senate seats to come crashing down, all the senators come crashing down to earth. She might be one of the ones that we first hear that goes up in flames in Louisiana. And there again is a strategy move. Does that backfire on her for what she did at the last minute, at the last waning minutes of the campaign? If you're desperate, do you make a controversial move like Hagan with the Obama ads, like Landrieu with the racist South comment and her state, and then throwing in the drilling thing? That can, you know, there's no doubt about it, that goes one of two ways. Maybe it's a little bit of a push, and maybe it does no such thing, and it has the opposite, effect. So the question to you is, do you think the GOP wave is for real? And you think the Democrats are going to be startled that when they wake up on Wednesday, they are no longer the majority in the Senate, and then the president has to work with an all-Republican Congress? And how does that work? You know, we keep hearing about Bill Clinton and how he worked with Newt Gingrich and how it didn't matter that, you know, he was a Democrat. He was able to work with the Republicans on the Hill. Do you think we'll see the same thing coming out of the Obama White House? Do you think we'll have that same spirit of cooperation? I don't think so. I mean, I love when people try to compare that, but I don't think that's what we'll see. I mean, Joe Biden is out there as kind of the just-in-case guy. You know, he is. That's what he is. The VP, that's what a VP is. I've been the VP before. The VP is the just-in-case person. That's kind of, that is your role. So he's out there to spread the bad news subtly. Hey, just in case, but he's not using those words, but saying that the White House would be willing to compromise with a Republican-controlled Congress. He did one of the CNN shows and said, we have to be more direct and clear about exactly what it is we're looking to do, and then said, look, we're ready to compromise. He said, I think they're going to be inclined because the message from the people, and I'm getting it all over the country, this is Biden, is they're tired of Washington not being able to do anything. But he had to catch himself a couple of times when he was talking to not seem as though he's throwing it away, saying, yeah, you know, when this happens, don't worry, we'll be able to work it out. And I wonder if that's true, if the wave is going to wash over the Democrats of the Republicans, and this is really going to be that big shakeup in the midterms. Because, you know, did he really say that? He's the just-in-case guy. And if I'm Obama, I don't know, do I want my just-in-case guy out there before the election saying that? sure, we're going to work, we're willing to compromise. What? Before we know the final tallies? Because I think that shows, that's a tell. I think that shows that they're concerned that GOP wave is coming their way. It's a tsunami. And they're feeling it. They're not saying it because, of course, we had to play it out. But they're feeling and seeing this wave coming, and they can't turn it around. They know they can't turn this tide around. They're watching it happen. So do they want to say they're going to have a stalemate in Congress? No. Do we want a stalemate? Do we want that excuse again? No. What's the one thing everybody says? They never can get anything done. Nothing happens. There's a lot of conversation. But then it just always gets stuck somewhere in committee. I mean, how many committees have we paid for? And, you know, we pay for those committees. The committee to reassign a committee, to pick another committee, it's insanity. Immigration alone, I would love to know the exact dollar figure. And I tried to get that and kind of got poo-pooed off of that trail. But what is the exact dollar figure on all the committees that we've formed, on all the fact-finding that we've done coming out of Washington, so for the last couple of years, and then for the full decade, how much money was thrown down that rat hole when nothing came of it in any direction? We were talking walls, or we were talking about more border patrol, or you know, everybody's now saying, absolutely, we have to be accountable and know who's coming into the country. So if there's agreement with the Republicans and Democrats, what are they doing to make that happen? Spending more money. Spending more again and again and again and again. But nothing changes. And that money is, by the way, on your back and on my back. We're the taxpayers. It's we the people. It's one thing to have an excellent committee set up. I don't care if it's bipartisan. Great. But they actually accomplish some end goal versus waiting, coming out of it saying they don't have anything to share. And then years later, we get another committee. It's ineffective. Coming up on the flip side, an update on Ebola. And we'll mix in a few other things as well. Stay with us.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules. Now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body. Normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason. Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNLive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNLive.com.
Just like when we pick the winners and our nail the score, what do you think about the wave of Republican candidates who could wash over the Democrats and take those seats and shift the majority in the Senate to Republican, meaning that both chambers would be Republican and we'd have a Democratic president? Like I said, we've seen it before. And it's worked. Will it work this time around? And does that happen? I mean, this is prognosticating, predicting, Madam Cleo kind of stuff, looking in the crystal ball, looking at the polls. If you talk to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, she says, not so fast. The Democrats have a plan. What do you think? You can always throw in your two cents. That's what we're talking about throughout the show as we weave in a couple of different directions. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. Quickly on Ebola. Dr. Craig Spencer, the doc who's been treated for Ebola at New York City Hospital, upgraded from serious but stable to stable. 33. Remember, he tested for Ebola October 23rd, just days after returning home from Guinea, where he helped treat Ebola patients He's one of those doctors without borders. Treated a lot of patients. France is treating an Ebola patient who contracted that virus working for the United Nations in Sierra Leone. High security isolations. That's where that patient is now at this point. Member Teresa Romero Ramos, she's the Spanish nurse. What happened to her? She got Ebola while she was caring for a patient with Ebola. She's been moved out of isolation in Madrid in a hospital there. Tests show that she no longer had Ebola, but she's still there because they want to keep making sure they're testing for traces of Ebola virus in any of her bodily fluids. They say she can go home once she's been completely cleared all the way across the board. And Canada will stop processing visas from foreign nationals who have visited the three most affected countries. That action, similar to the one taken by Australia several days ago. Speaking of Australia and stopping people with visas coming in from those three countries, let's go to Australia to Jack down under. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Kate. How are you?
I'm excellent. How about you?
I'm doing well. I watched the running of the Melbourne Cup. It is Australia's richest horse race. It's sort of like our Kentucky Derby. I sort of find it ironic that the first Tuesday of November in the United States, you hold elections, and in Australia, we have a horse race. Do we see the similarities?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, this year's Melbourne Cup, I believe the prize pool was $50 million to the runners of it. It went to a German horse, of all things. First time a German horse has run in the Cup. Protectionist won it, but it's been marred by tragedy with the favourite from Japan, Admir Reiki, dying after just 5 minutes after the race in the stalls.
Wow.
And it looks like at this stage from preliminary course vets, veterinary examination, that it died of a massive heart attack.
Wow. Wow. You know, that happens every once in a while, but for a star horse and like that, it's rare.
Well, yeah, it was a star horse. It was the favorite, so it was always going to be under examination by the course stewards anyway, because A, it was the favorite, so it would have automatically gotten an anti-doping swab after the race anyway. So it was under supervision immediately after the race. They took it back to the stalls, unsaddled it, and, you know, gave it a quick washdown after the race, and it collapsed. Now, also, a second horse has been injured as well. Alando was returning back to the stalls when a child waved a white flag in front of it and startled the horse. It's jumped over a fence and shattered the cannon bone, which is one of the leg bones, I'm told, by my son's girlfriend, who is very much into horses.
Wow.
That horse is currently in surgery at the moment. And they're trying to save that horse's life. So all sorts of festivity and trauma at the Melbourne Cup. Now, traditionally, as I said, it's held on the first Tuesday of November every year. It's 3,200 metres, which is, I believe, pretty close to 2 miles. And nearly $250 million is wagered on this one race.
Wow.
Obviously about 150 million of that just in Australia, the rest of it from overseas connections. Now, this year, 11 of the 23 runners were international horses. We had 6 from England, 2 from Ireland, 1 from Japan, 1 from Germany, 1 from France. Tragically, though, the one horse from the United States that was entered was scratched yesterday after it pulled up lame from a previous event in the spring racing carnival. And a rather noted American for a piece of trivia, back in 1895, a little-known American author by the name of Mark Twain actually visited the Melbourne Cup and described it as one of the supreme horse racing events that he has ever seen.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
I love
that. Mark Twain
supreme.
I knew that Mark... Supreme, yes.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
So there you go. All sorts of funny things going on here. It's look, the fact that the horse has dropped dead has got the racing world here in all sorts of shock. Obviously, the horse's connections, the owners that were here, that they arrived yesterday from Japan. So they're pretty heartbroken as they are. Back in Japan, but automatically the animal rights and those trying to stop things like horse racing, you know, they're already out on the warpath over this.
Mm, wow. You know, it's funny. I'm glad that you told us about that race, Jack, because we just had the Breeders' Cup here in the United States, and there was some controversy at the Breeders' Cup. I love that fact. Thanks, Jack, about Mark Twain, too, by the way. I've heard that about the Melbourne Cup, that it's just absolutely incredible. Well, we had our version of the incredible, the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic, but the morning after Bob Baffert's Bayern wired the Classic, you know, from end to end, and the result was upheld after a lengthy stewards inquiry. The trainer said he has never seen so much animosity over a horse race. And I'll tell you what, when anyone can throw out their opinions, you know, because of social media, 140 characters, he's probably right about that. Bayern came out of the gate at the number 7 post spot, swerved a little bit to the left, brushed against Shared Belief. Then that move shuffled back Moreno, another expected front runner. Shared Belief eventually finished 4th, 3.5 lengths behind Bayern, Toast of New York, and California Chrome. The official race chart said Bayern broke inward, bumping Shared Belief and also forcing that rival into Moreno. Wow. And this was in Southern California. This was out at Santa Anita. And horse racing has really been slugging it out in the United States lately, competing for dollars and attention and starting to fizzle, shockingly, in some areas. So they don't really want a lot of controversy. They want a lot of hoopla and celebrating. But that was a crazy, crazy thing that happened in that race anyway. And Baffert said it's an incredibly sad thing that happened and should not have happened, and it ruined the race for him. Any thoughts on the show? You can always send them to me. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.